The Senate will please come to order. Fellow senators, before we have the roll call this morning, I want you to know that we have a whole front line here that isn't quite feeling up to sorts. I may be going a little slow so that we can keep it all together. Diana is ill. Diane isn't feeling the best, so we're going to have a few substitute things going on here, and so bear with us. I kind of feel like at a quarterback without a front line. But so anyway, we will have roll call by our assistant Kim this morning.
Roll call for Thursday, February 24th. Anderson?
Here.
Allman?
Here.
Barrasso?
Here.
Boggs?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
DeCaria? Geis, Haynes, Hawks, Hines, Jennings, Job, Johnson, Massey, Meyer, Mockler, Nicholas, Northrup, Peck, Ross, Schiffer, Scott, Sessions, Townsend, Vasey, Von Fladen?
Here.
President Larson?
Here.
30 present.
Please join in the prayer by Father Cronkleton.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as the days grow longer and the days of this session become fewer, the work yet to be done can seem greater. Let us not be overwhelmed by what is yet to be done today. Be with us on this last day for bills to be reported out of committee, and grant us your divine assistance to accomplish all that we can. Give us your guidance in debating, amending, and voting on the bills before us this day. And when the day is done, give us the satisfaction of knowing that what we did what we could, and that you were with us as we worked. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I may add, speaking of illnesses, that we appreciate Father Cronkleton filling in, because even our reverend who was supposed to finish this week out, he's also got it. So the other best advice I can give you, stay away from all these people. I'm going to try. But we appreciate you coming in on short notice, Father. Senator Massey.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you. I just, some of the constituents of Senator Nicholas and mine are here today up in the West Gallery, and it's Megan Gibson's history and government class from Laramie High School. I was wondering if they could stand up, if the chamber would welcome them to the Senate.
You bet. Welcome. Welcome to the Wyoming Senate. We're glad to have you here. History and government, you're watching both in action. So, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, House Bill 271, Public Shooting Ranges Funding, has an appropriation on it. It has to re-refer it to Committee Number 2 Appropriations.
It is so ordered. Reading, correction, approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 23rd, 2005, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Johnson, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, the report is adopted. Our doctor for the day is Dr. Gregory McHugh. doctor from Cody. Doctor, would you stand? We appreciate your service. Would you all welcome the doctor? There is no nurse scheduled for today. Our thought for today, every good path has a few puddles. Messages from the House.
February the 23rd, 2005, from the House of Representatives. Message number 459, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 39. The House conferees are Representative Landon, Chairman, Representatives Barnard and Gingery. From the House of Representatives, message number 460, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 14. The House conferees are Representative Berger, Chairman, Representatives Edwards and Latta. From the House of Representatives, message number 461, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 8. The House conferees are Representative Landon, Chairman, Representative Samuelson and Warren. February the 23rd, 2005, from the House of Representatives. Message number 455, concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 65, Uniform Trust Code Amendments. Ayes 51, no 0, excused 9. Message number, or House Bill number 94, Environmental Health Study. Ayes 51, no 0, excused 9. House Bill number 275, Methamphetamine Initiative Planning Study. Ayes 51, no 0, excused 9. From the House of Representatives, message number 458, concurrence failed. Mr. President, House Bill number 293, illegal drug manufacturing precursor chemicals. The House failed to concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 2, noes 49, excused 9. The House requests the Senate appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the House to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
We have some concurrence requests. Senator Scott, are you now ready on message number 446?
Yes, Mr. President.
The reading clerk will read in message 446.
February the 23rd, 2005, from the House of Representatives, message number 446, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 77, Trauma Care, Medical Trauma Care, Substitute 1. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, no 0, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Petition L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move we do concur with
House amendments to Senate File 77, Medical Trauma Care, and I yield to Senator Barrasso for an explanation of why.
Senator Barrasso.
Mr. President, the motions do concur, and I recommend that we vote aye. The House came up with a substitute bill that passed the House 58-2. The House deleted the health care providers aspect of this, which is fine. It did simplify the language. It kept the appropriation of $2.5 million, and it kept the amendment that I brought along with the President that no hospital will receive 25% of the appropriation. I would encourage you to vote aye.
Discussion on the concurrence request. Any discussion? The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 77, and you've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk hopefully will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Haynes?
Aye.
Hawks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Northrup?
Aye.
Peck?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Larson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 27 ayes, 3 noes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 77, message number 446. Senator Geis, are you ready on message number 449?
Yes, Mr. President.
The reading clerk will read in message 449.
February the 23rd, 2004, from the House of Representatives, message number 449, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 69, Water Development Account 3. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, no 0, excuse 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, on message 449 being Senate File 69, I would ask you to concur and vote aye. What they did is on page 3, line 13 and line 14-17, they struck out the two-thirds vote to take money out of account 3. And that, other than that, the bill's the same. So if we decide to take money out of account 3, it's just a simple majority, and the body could take the money out and move it where they wanted to. That's all it does.
Further discussion on the concurrence request. Further discussion. The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 69, and you have been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will call a roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Haynes?
Aye.
Hawks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job? Johnson,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Mockler,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Peck,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Larson,
aye.
Closing vote, closing, vote closed, 28 ayes, 2 noes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 69, message 449. Senator Geis, are you also ready on message 453?
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
The reading clerk will read in message 453.
February the 23rd, 2005, from the House of Representatives. Message number 453, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 18, grain laws. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, no 0, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, on message 453, Senate File 18, I would move that we do concur on Senate File 18 and ask you to vote aye. And I'll yield the floor to Senator Meyer to explain the amendment.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the House did a little bit of work here. They went into the cease and desist area, put an appeal process in there. They went in the to the area as far as what's acceptable as far as a bond or a financial instrument. They deleted part of that, Mr. President. I think what's left in there is a cash bond or acceptable letter of credit or a surety bond. That's sufficient to do the job. You look on the other part, is it has to do with posting the tariffs. When it left the Senate, we said it shall be shall. The House went to May by rule and regulation. I think there's every indication that the department will request the posting of tariffs when they're necessary. So I don't have a lot of heartburn with that. They also went into the area of a felony. They raised that from $500 and converted grain to $1,000. That's a proper thing to do. It looks like the attorneys got together in the House to do that. If you recall, Senator Burns's, previously Senator Goodenough's, efforts in raising that from $500 to $1,000 on property crimes. In fact, the judge actually used that standard in the plea bargain agreement with the person who was in Goshen County converted the grain. So $1,000 is a proper standard. I think they did some reasonable work here. It's not all perfect, but it doesn't do any harm to the bill.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, and I'm not advocating one way or the other. I do have some concern, though, in the language on the subparagraph D. The House took upon themselves to include the language, the application for stay shall give precedence over all other cases pending in court and shall in every way be expedited. I guess my concern is that would suggest that if you have a criminal case, and for those of you don't know that criminal cases are what control the dockets, are we telling those folks that go ahead and if there's a speedy trial out there, ignore it and let that defendant go free because this takes precedence? I'm a little concerned about that language. Maybe we ought to think about taking that out.
Senator Meyer.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's the will of the body. If you want us to get together and talk to the House to take that out, I guess that's fine. However, Mr. President, in these situations, I would hope that they would be expedited, especially in certain times of the year. If you're harvesting, you need to make sure that this, if the warehouse is going to go broke, you can't. Deliver your grains there. You're going to have to make other arrangements. If a warehouseman for whatever reason should not have had a cease and desist, you're possibly causing that individual irreparable damages if he gets everything back in order. So I understand the concerns about letting criminals go. But I believe our court system isn't overtaxed and it wouldn't make a lot of difference. I seriously don't believe we would have criminals running free. This happens on the matter of course of maybe once every 5 years, once every 7 or 8 years, that you have a grain warehouseman actually would get into a situation where there would be a cease and desist. So it's not going to plug up the docket.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, you know, if this was the last day of our session, I'd probably say live with it and we can deal with it later. But my thought is we ought to send it back to a conference committee. And you can do one of two things. One is you could say given precedence over all other civil cases, and so that you know that it's precedence over the civil docket and not the criminal dockets. Another solution is, as you could say, that it's the application shall be expedited, and just leave it at that, and the court will take it upon itself to expedite it. And the third alternative, for temporary restraining orders, we say any application shall be heard within 10 days. So you got three different alternatives there, but I don't think it's good policy for us to send any piece of legislation out there and saying this is the most important thing on your docket. It takes precedence over all criminal cases and any other case that I can imagine. I mean, to tell them to do it promptly, fair enough, that's good, but it just wouldn't make good policy. It'd be easy enough to change. We have plenty of time to change it. So I would urge we to send it back to the conference and correct that sentence.
Further discussion on the concurrence request. Further discussion. The motion is that Senate do concur on Senate file 18, and you have been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk will call a roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
No.
Barrasso?
No.
Boggs?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
No.
Geist?
Aye.
Haynes?
No.
Hawks?
No.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Job?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Northrup?
No.
Peck?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Larson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed, 9 ayes, 21 noes.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 18, message number 453. Reports from standing committees.
February the 24th, 2005. Mr. President, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 340 in gross, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, Case, Hines, Job, and Nicholas. Senator Hines, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 314 in gross, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, Case, Hines, Job, and Nicholas. Senator Hines, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 245, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, DeCaria, Haynes, Ross, and Sessions. Senator Haynes, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 152, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, DeCaria, Haynes, Ross, and Sessions. Senator Haynes, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 251, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, DeCaria, Haynes, Ross, and Sessions. Senator Haynes, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 237, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, DeCaria, Haynes, Ross, and Sessions. Senator Haynes, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number nine, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 253, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cole, Hawks, Jennings, Townsend, and Vasey. Senator Hawks, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number nine, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 277, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cole, Hawks, Jennings, Townsend, and Vasey, Senator Hawks, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 175, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Ullman, Barrasso, DiCaria, Massey, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman.
Joint Conference Committee reports. Had one that didn't have a message number on. We will get that corrected from the House and do that a little later. Bills on second reading. House Bill number 38, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 38, Wyoming Professional Assistance Program, sponsored by Representative Lubnow.
House Bill number 38, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill number 45, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 45, County Officer Salary, sponsored by Representative Walsh.
House Bill number 45, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 56, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 56, Adjutant General Salary, sponsored by Representative Illoway.
House Bill 56, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 114, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 114, Pharmacist, sponsored by Representative Osborne.
House Bill 114. Discussion on the bill. Senator Barrasso.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, Mr. President, yesterday during the Committee of the Whole debate, questions were raised by the good senator from Fremont County about steroids, about controlled substances, dangerous drugs, and medical devices, and I've gotten that information. Mr. President, in terms of steroids, which are muscle building and strength enhancing, those are Schedule III medications. They are approved by the Food and Drug Administration. But what's happening is that many of these are becoming designer drugs, Mr. President, like methamphetamine, where in laboratories people dream up ways to make new, different kind of steroids that are then not yet brought into the FDA. So the regular strength-enhancing, muscle-building medicines are Schedule III medicines for which you would need a prescription, of course, being used around the country without a prescription. There is an issue of one line that said controlled substances or dangerous drugs or devices. The controlled substances, Mr. President, would be narcotic medications, opiates, stimulants, medications that are listed under the Controlled Substance Act. dangerous drugs are not necessarily controlled substances, but things for which you still need a prescription, antibiotics, thyroid medicines, things like Prozac, heart medications, a host of different medications. And then medical devices that need a prescription would be certain devices such as measured compression stockings for which you need a prescription. And hopefully that answers all the questions from the good senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any further discussion on the bill? Any further discussion? House Bill 114, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 148, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 148, Veterans Memorial Museum and National Guard Artifact Support, sponsored by Representative Lockhart.
House Bill number 148, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 189, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 189, Veterans Home Study, sponsored by Representative Harvey.
House Bill 189, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 205, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 205, Unlawful Skimming, sponsored by Representative Landon.
House Bill 205, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 327, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 327, Drought Relief, Horse Creek Conservation District, sponsored by Representative Buchanan.
House Bill number 327, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 338, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 338, Department of Health Review, sponsored by Representative Luthy.
We do have an amendment. Second reading amendment number one. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
House Bill 338, second reading amendment number one, page 3, line 1.
The Mockler Amendment, Senator Mockler.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 338 and ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. The amendment goes into the panel that we're putting together to do our preliminary review of the Department of Health, and I accept that it is a preliminary review, that it's not the in-depth hire outside consultants. I thought that point was made very well yesterday. But I do think that we have one asset in the state that we could add to this panel, and that is a member representing the Wyoming Department of Audit Public Funds Division. The Public Funds Division are the people that understand exactly how you keep your books and how you track what payments are made. We have someone from the Department of Audit, or from the State Auditor's Office, and that's more of the just pay the bills, you know, the preliminary review. I think we ought to have someone in there that's very capable of doing an internal audit and giving internal audit advice as we go along. So I hope this is considered a friendly amendment. It was certainly intended that way.
Senator Scott, discussion on the amendment.
Mr. President, on and against the amendment. Mr. President, I rise to oppose it for two reasons. One, it increases the number on this review from 11 to 12, and 11 is bad enough in being unwieldy, and 12 just makes it that much worse. Second, I think the issues here are not ones over are the funds being lawfully spent and things like that. I think it's more managerial issues. And I think that the expertise of the Public Funds Division, Department of Audit, is more on are the systems adequate to make sure there isn't fraud and that kind of thing. And I don't think those are the big issues. So I'm not sure how much this particular individual will add to the process. I think it's a different kind of auditor than what we really need. So I would, and I don't, Mr. President, I don't have overwhelmingly strong feelings about this, but I think we'd be better off without this particular change.
Further discussion on the amendment? Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor of House Bill 338, second reading amendment number one, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
The amendment has failed. Back on the bill. House Bill 338, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 341, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 341, Reserve Deputy Sheriff, sponsored by Representative Edwards.
House Bill 341, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 349, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 349, Temporary Guardianship for Children, sponsored by Representative Simpson.
House Bill 349, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Joint Resolution 11, second reading of the Joint Resolution.
House Joint Resolution 11, Bear River Compact, sponsored by Representative Davison.
House Joint Resolution 11, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the joint resolution be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list. On the consent list are House Bill 91, Alcoholic Beverages Catering Permits, House Bill 98, Public Service Commission Non-Traditional Rate Making, House Bill 171, Homeland Security Amendments, House Bill 194, Surplus Medication, House Bill 225, Motor Vehicle Franchises Amendments, House Bill 252, State Water Pollution Control Account, House Bill 300, Rights for Historic Preservation, House Bill 310, Law Enforcement Retirees Excess Earnings, and House Bill 311, Law Enforcement Disability Allowances.
On the consent list, we have House Bill 91, Alcoholic Beverages Catering Permits, House Bill 98, Public Service Commission Non-Traditional Rate Making, House Bill 171, Homeland Security Amendments, House Bill 194, Surplus Medication, House Bill 225, Motor Vehicle Franchise Amendments, House Bill 252, State Water Pollution Control Account. House Bill 300, Rights for Historic Preservation. House Bill 310, Law Enforcement Retirees Excess Earnings. House Bill 311, Law Enforcement Disability Allowances. Would any member of the Senate like to have any of those bills removed from the consent list? Senator Meyer.
Yes, I have a third reading amendment. It should be distributed for House Bill 171.
It has been just distributed, Senator Meyer. I don't even know if it's fully out on the floor. We have it here, so I will remove House Bill 171 from the consent list. Are there any other bills on the consent list that anyone would like to have removed. On the consent list remaining, we have House Bill 91, Alcoholic Beverage Catering Permits, House Bill 98, Public Service Commission, Non-Traditional Rate Making, House Bill 194, Surplus Medication, House Bill 225, Motor Vehicle Franchise Amendments, House Bill 252, State Water Pollution Control Account, House Bill 300, Rights for Historic Preservation, House Bill 310, Law Enforcement Retirees Excess Earnings, and House Bill 311, Law Enforcement Disability Allowances. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Haynes?
Aye.
Hawks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Mockler,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Peck,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Larson,
aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. House Bill 91, are there any changes? Case to conflict. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 91. 29 ayes. 1 conflict. House Bill 98. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 98. 30 ayes. House Bill 194. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 194. 30 ayes. House Bill 225. Are there any changes? Case, aye to no.
Schiffer, aye to no.
Schiffer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 225. 28 ayes, 2 noes. House Bill 252. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 252. 30 ayes. House Bill 300. Are there any changes?
Scott, no.
Scott, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 300. 29 ayes. 1 no. House Bill 310. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 310. 30 ayes. And House Bill 311. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 311. 30 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 91, Alcoholic Beverages Catering Permits, House Bill 98, Public Service Commission, Non-Traditional Rate Making, House Bill 194, Surplus Medication, House Bill 225, Motor Vehicle Franchise Amendments, House Bill 252, State Water Pollution Control Account, House Bill 300, Rights for Historic Preservation, House Bill 310, Law Enforcement Retirees Excess Earnings, and House Bill 311, Law Enforcement Disability Allowance, have passed the Senate. House Bill 171, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 171, Homeland Security Amendment, sponsored by Representative Edwards, and Act relating to Homeland Security.
We do not have an amendment, as the amendment didn't distribute it. Does everyone have third reading amendment number one? The reading clerk will read the amendment.
House Bill 171, third reading amendment number one to engrossed copy, page one, line 15.
Senator Meyer, the Meyer amendment.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 171. If you recall, upon committee of the whole, I had a couple of three questions about different parts of the language. The good senator from Rock Springs and I got together, and he showed me the context of two of the places where the language was just fine. However, we did talk to LSO about the language used on page 21, lines 19 and 20. And it said, unless the context requires otherwise, as far as definitions, Mr. President, what this amendment does is strike that language and just allows it to be like any other definition section, and it's the same statutory construction that we use every place else, and I hope for your favorable consideration.
Senator Barrasso.
Mr. President, when this bill was brought up, the good senator from Goshen County made a couple of suggestions, which I wrote down quickly, visited with the folks from Homeland Security. I agree completely with the amendment and accept it as a friendly amendment. Recommend people vote in favor of it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the amendment? Further discussion seen. And the question is on House Bill 171, third reading amendment number one. Shall it pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. Back on the bill. House Bill number 171, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Barrasso.
Aye.
Boggs.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case. Don't make fun of me. Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Haynes.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Peck.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer. Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
aye.
Von Fleitern,
aye.
President Larson,
aye.
Closing vote, closing, vote closed, 30 ayes.
House Bill 171, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 171 has passed the Senate. Yeah. We have now the proper number on the Joint Conference Committee report. Senator Scott, are you ready on message 372?
Yes.
The reading clerk will read in message 372 for Senate File 80.
Joint Conference Committee report, Senate File 80, Unemployment Compensation Amendment. Reference House message number 372. Signing for the House, Senate Representatives Hassert, Alden, and Osborne. And signing for the Senate, Senator Scott, Allman, and DeCaria.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move that we do adopt the Joint Conference Committee report on Senate File 80. Mr. President, this was a very easy Joint Conference report. There was a drafting error in, and you can see it on page 3, line 14. As it came to us from the House, it said the fine under this section. As it is in the joint conference report, it says the fine under this paragraph. That refers the section to where the requirement to where it belongs. If it had been written section, it could be construed to apply to some things, a rate increase, which the federal rules require going to the UI fund, and frankly, the feds are quite reasonable in this. So that's the only matter of substance here. It does alter the House's intent, and the House's intent is just fine. We just made that correction. I would call your attention to one other thing. That is at the bottom of the page, 273307. This was introduced by the attorneys on their own motion, and it corrects a statutory reference. It's fine. It doesn't change anything of substance. But I'm starting to see these, and frankly, I checked this one out. It's removing a reference that the bill repeals, to a section of the bill repeals. That was present in the bill all along. That sort of thing should have been done in the initial drafting rather than add it to a conference committee at the end. It does no harm here. It saves us a page in a revisor's bill, frankly. But I call it to your attention, and particularly the members of the Management Council, because I think we're developing a managerial problem in the way some of the drafting work is done that needs some attention.
The motion is that the Senate do adopt the Joint Conference Committee report on Senate File 80, Message 372. Is there any discussion? Is there any discussion? You've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Barrasso.
Aye.
Boggs.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Haynes.
Aye.
Hawks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Peck.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Vasey.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Larson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have adopted the Joint Conference Committee report on message number 372 for Senate File 80. I'm going to go a little bit out of order on business here in order that we can control the time a little as we approach the lunch break. So I'm going to sign enrolled acts at this particular time. Signing of enrolled acts. Enrolled Act number 67.
Senate Enrolled Act number 67, being original Senate File 7, an act relating to environmental quality.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 67, being original Senate File 7. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 68.
Senate Enrolled Act number 68, being original Senate File 171, an act relating to fines and penalties.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 68, being original Senate File 171. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 86.
House Enrolled Act Number 86 being original House Bill Number 65, and Act relating to the Uniform Trust Code.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 86 being original House Bill 65. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 85.
House Enrolled Act Number 85 being original House Bill Number 94, an act relating to health care and the state health officer.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 85 being original House Bill 94. I have so signed. Enrolled Act 84.
House Enrolled Act Number 84 being original House Bill Number 275, and Act relating to controlled substances.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 84 being original House Bill 275. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 83.
House Enrolled Act Number 83 being original House Bill Number 333, and Act relating to cities and towns.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 83 being original House Bill 333. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 82.
House Enrolled Act Number 82 being original House Bill Number 60, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 82 being original House Bill 60. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 81.
House Enrolled Act Number 81 being original House Bill 23, and Act relating to administration of government.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 81 being original House Bill 23. Enrolled Act Number 80.
House Enrolled Act Number 80 being original House Bill Number 228, and Act relating to school finance.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 80 being original House Bill 228. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 79.
House Enrolled Act Number 79 being original House Bill Number 143, and Act relating to cities and towns.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 79 being original House Bill 143. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 78.
House Enrolled Act Number 78 being original House Bill Number 63, an act relating to public funds.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 78 being original House Bill 63. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 77.
House Enrolled Act Number 77, being original House Bill Number 142, an act relating to cities and towns.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 77, being original House Bill 142. I have so signed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that time in our order of business to consider bills on general file.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senator Brasso.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 25. Will the reading clerk please read the House bill?
House Bill Number 25, Legislative Stabilization Reserve Account, sponsored by Representative Illaway, an act relating to public funds. It was referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. It reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, Case, Hines, and Nicholas. No, Senator Jobe, Senator Hines, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, move that we committed to hold as a report for the due pass recommendation on House Bill 5. Yield to one of these sponsors, Senator Haynes, Senator Nicholas, who is going to handle. This is the Legislative Stabilization Reserve Account. It creates the account and shall not be expended except for the 2/3 votes of each house of the legislature. This is created in anticipation of the passage of House Joint Resolution Number 1. And the funds within this reserve account shall not be appropriated until after the 2006 general election, and it is tied to the constitutional amendment, which is approved by the electors in the next general election, then this account would be created. And the funds within this account can be invested. If it is created in the future, then it would be invested by the state treasurer to obtain the highest possible return. It states in here then that they would be considered permanent funds for the purpose of investing. Any earnings from the investment of money in this new account would be directed to the state general fund. I think it's similar. You know, we discussed this issue, and it was, I believe we set it up more or less to, by legislative authority, rather than going this route. This would make it a little more direct and would be in statute.
Senator Hines, have you moved the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I move the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 25 and ask to be read in at this time.
House Bill 25, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engross copy, page 1, line 15.
Senator Hines.
As you can tell, Mr. Chairman, I missed this when I was going over the list, and I had three marked for me to talk on today, and this wasn't one of them. Okay, what this does, we have had two joint resolutions, and this one referring only to the, in this bill it refers only to the House joint resolution. We have one Senate joint resolution, two that does basically the same thing. And so what this amendment would do, that this would be in effect if either of these amendments was passed by the voters, either the House Joint Resolution Number 1 or the Senate Joint Resolution Number 2. So I ask your support for this amendment.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the amendment, as was explained by the Chairman of Appropriations, we've had two versions of this moving through both bodies. Through conference with the members of the House, our joint resolution is moving over there. Their bill is moving here as we have now. And so this amendment kind of made it to where it was going to be either one, but their joint resolution is not going to come through this body. Our joint resolution will go there. Our bill relating to this account is not, and so we have coordinated that. The amendment will clear that up, and when the joint resolution passes, which will enable the people to vote on these accounts and be swept in by this, and then there, if it does, what we're really trying to do, once again, is to say if we're going to create this account and tell the people that it is going to take two-thirds, then it's important that they have the ability to vote on that and say it is. It creates the account. The funding, if any, that will be put into it will be decided at a later time. But the amendment does coordinate that so that if they pass, that it will make it where it is doable. I urge your support of the amendment.
Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Hines' motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Any further discussion on the bill? Senator Mockler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I have a lot of questions about just structurally how we're doing this. If you look on page 2 at line 4, funds within the legislative stabilization reserve account shall not be appropriated until the results of the 2006 legislature elections have been certified. So we're setting up this account, which we can actually set up, and we have set up in our budget. If you look at the budget, and I think it has $136 million in it from the Senate, what you're setting up is an account that you can do sort of through the budget process for now for the next couple years. And then you can wait until the people of this state, until the legislature that is being established in 2007 takes its seat, and let them decide, once the people have given them their indication of whether or not they want this account, whether or not to create the account. And what we're doing now is we're saying, we're going to create the account, and nobody can touch this account. Nobody, even with a two-thirds vote. This account cannot be touched. No matter what happens in the state of Wyoming, we have $136 million in it. We may desperately need it in our budget next year. We can't touch that without first repealing this law on the assumption that the people at the next election are going to support this resolution to begin with. So I guess my question is, why is the bill even necessary? Because you have set up the account, you've set it up in the budget, you know it's there, it's got money in it. I don't think anybody really here has any intention of spending that money yet. But you've then obligated the next legislature, or our legislature, the current legislature, to not spending a penny of it. Remember, unless we repeal this, we can't spend a penny of it. We've taken that completely out of this legislature, the 58th legislature's hands. And then it's said to the next legislature, of which many of us may not even be a part, you guys can then set this, if the constitutional amendment is accepted, you have the right under the bill that the Senate passed to set this account up. So I guess this just seems to me a very odd and very premature way to do this, because it isn't necessary. What we should have in process is, we have asked the people at the next election, do you want to have accounts like this that are set up as permanent funds of the state that can be invested that way, that can be in place, that require a two-thirds vote to get the money out? And if they say yes, then you put a bill like this in place and the procedure is how to do it. Until they say yes or no, why would you do something like this? So you just need to convince me that this is a really good idea and you've got all of General File to do it.
Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, my feelings for doing this bill at this time is because of our financial condition. We do have a flow of money that can go into a reserve account if we dedicate it at this point and then see what the people are doing. I personally, and I think I've also read and heard throughout the news media, there's a lot of support for this idea statewide. And so the purpose of it is to set it up, let the public know what we would prefer to have done, and then they have the final say in their vote. As far as locking up this, but we can't touch it, this is like any other bill that we pass. We or a future legislature can amend it at any time. It's not really locking it up. We like to put it aside like any of our bills where hopefully it's a little more difficult to change, but it certainly isn't locked up out of any of our controls, either ours or for the future legislature. So I think this is a means of telling the public that we, as the legislature, is interested in setting up this type of account, and we want to let them know with the surpluses that we have currently or anticipating getting that we'll have some money to put in that for this future use. So I believe these are the reasons that we are moving this bill forward.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, much more of a technical question. If you look on lines 15, 16, and 17, the funds are to be invested as authorized under 94711 in a manner to obtain highest possible return consistent with preservation of corpus. My question is, and it may arise out of my ignorance of our general investing practices, highest possible return sounds good, but one of the other things you need to have is reasonable diversification. That's a further safety measure. And would that be a useful addition here, or would it be simply unnecessary given our other provisions that aren't here to say highest possible return consistent with preservation of the corpus and reasonable diversification of investments or something like that? So this language isn't construed as putting it all in one thing that seems to be the safest, the highest return of the things that meet the safety muster.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I'll try and answer that question. That wording comes from the State Treasurer, and what it is it moves it into the category of the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. In the investment balancing that they use. So it is a mix of equities and bonds and all the things that they invest in to keep a balanced account and yet keep it safe and still get a very good return on it. So it'll be invested very much. Matter of fact, it'll be invested identical to the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. If you start looking at the mix of investment vehicle that they use. And Mr. Chairman, one other thing, a reference earlier to the amount of money in this account and what's going to happen to it. And Mr. Chairman, right now, as we go into the budget process, what this account actually has in it is $36 million. There is a difference between the Senate position and the House position. The Senate is about half that. I think it's around $16 million. So we'll work out some compromise language, I imagine. I mean, if we're going to bring a budget in this session, and I don't even know if that's wise or not, but ordinarily we do bring a budget, we'll have to work a compromise out. And so we'll be somewhere, presumably, between roughly $16 million and $36 million sitting in this account. Is it locked up forever? No. Until a constitutional amendment goes through, it's just like any other account. It takes a majority vote to get it out. Use that old wonderful word, notwithstanding. It's such a great word, hard to spell, but a great word. And we can go in and take money out of this account. We can put money into this account. And up until the constitutional amendment is passed and it goes through the canvassing board, that is when this account becomes protected. So don't think that it's locked away for the next 2 years. It's just like any other holding account. And whether it's $16 million or $20 million or $36 million or $100 million, it won't make any difference. It will be vulnerable to somebody coming in and using that money between now and when the election takes place.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would urge support of this bill. I've heard, as long as I've been here, that we shouldn't, from many members, we shouldn't be putting all that money into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund where we can never get out of it in case of an emergency, that it's there. I look at this as kind of a compromise, an alternative to perhaps putting more money than we wisely should into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund where we really can't get at it. And so I look at this as a step in between. It will give us another alternative rather than putting it into the trust fund where it can't be reached. It will have a little higher threshold to get it out, but I'm not sure that's bad. We could get it out in case of these emergencies that we've talked about for years, in case our revenue does go down drastically, in case we are in another position of where we were predicted to be a few years ago of $180 million shortfall. This will enable us to access that money, albeit with a two-thirds vote. I think if we have a true emergency, there would be no problem in getting the two-thirds vote. So I look at it as giving us another tool rather than putting all of it in the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund where we can probably never get at it. So the amounts that go into it, that we can decide year by year. We can get access to that money until the constitutional amendment goes by a majority, because all we have to do is change the statute, and we can get at it by a majority until the constitutional amendment goes through or not. If it doesn't, then we can always get at it. So I look at this as giving us one more tool to decide how we're going to deal with any funds that we wish to save, and I would urge you to support it.
Senator Mockler.
I just want to make one point of clarification. Certainly you can repeal this law if we're broke next session, but it's still going to require a two-thirds vote to repeal it, because it's going to require a two-thirds vote to introduce the bill to repeal this law. So you are tying this money up so that for all intents and purposes for the next 2 years, or this year and next year, until after the 2006 election, the money that the budget finally ends up putting in here is really off the table, because getting the two-thirds vote to get a bill introduced to pull money out of this would probably be pretty hard as well. So the decision we're making here today is that we have no intention whatsoever, no matter what, of touching this money until the people have voted on the initiative or the constitutional amendment in 2006, and the 2007 legislature walks in with this account, and then they can determine what to do with it. And to me, that just doesn't seem necessary. Why not let them decide whether or not they want to create the account and whether or not they want to have the money be untouched after the people have said they want the account, yes or no. So it seems to me you can just stick the money in the budget. We've got the account created. It gives us the flexibility for the first 2 years that it's there. We've asked the people. We haven't tied the money up with a two-thirds vote, which is really an amazing standard to tie money up. And it just seems to me that this is premature. Before you ask the people of the state of Wyoming, do they want to have permanent funds of the state where money is taken off the table and invested in the wide range of stocks and equities and fixed income and everything that's on the table. But first, don't you think you should ask them before you make it so difficult to get to this money?
Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Hines' motion, when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 25, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no? House Bill 25 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 93.
House Bill number 93, Tax Exemption Rolling Stock, sponsored by Representative Flipp, an act relating to taxation and revenue. It was referred to Committee number 3, Revenue. The report's back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Ullman, Hawks, Mocker, Peck, excuse Senator Cooper, Senator Peck, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Peck.
Aye, Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 93. There's also a standing committee amendment. I'd like to have it read in at this time.
House Bill 93, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 3.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 and that we dispense with further reading. I'd like to explain the bill before we call for the vote on the Standing Committee Amendment. Senators, we all know that the number one concern of Wyoming citizens is well-paying jobs. House Bill 93 will help preserve some existing jobs. It will help create some badly needed new jobs. This is an economic incentive bill. Now, much as we deplore tax exemptions, this one has merit and it has some sense of urgency. We all know that thousands of rail cars move through Wyoming every day. When one breaks down, the owner of that car can have it repaired in Wyoming, or they can drag it across the state line in any direction in any of the four states surrounding Wyoming and have it repaired sales tax free. We just have distributed here a map, which is on your desks here, which shows the states which surround Wyoming, all of which have a sales tax exemption on rail car repair, with the exception of South Dakota, and it has virtually no repair stations. Keep in mind that rail car rolling stock repair is a highly competitive business. The rail car repair shops operate with very small margins, and oftentimes their profit margin depends on whether or not they have to impose the 4, 5, or 6% sales tax, which is in place in the various counties. So the more cars there are to repair, they stay in Wyoming if the price is right. They go elsewhere if the price is not. Now keep in mind, this is not a bill to help the railroads. Railroads own a few cars, but many of the rail cars are owned by the utilities, which buy the coal. They're owned by companies which lease them back. There's a whole bunch of different ownerships of the rail cars. We also know that the railroads are very creative in trying to find legal ways to avoid paying taxes to the state of Wyoming, and they do pay us a lot of taxes. But the railroad taxation is a topic for another day. What we're talking about here is whether we can hold or increase the number of rail cars which are repaired in Wyoming. This is not a new bill historically, in that we have over the years granted sales tax exemptions for rail car repair. Now, when we let the bill expire in 2000, there was a rail car facility at Bill where the employment dramatically decreased as the number of cars were pulled elsewhere for repairs. I believe I saw the figures, the number of people that used to work at Bill used to be 64, they plunged to 14. Because the railroads are going out in all directions, they could haul the rail cars that needed repair across the line to Nebraska or elsewhere and save big money. We know that there's one rail car facility at Shoshone, which foregoed trying to collect the sales tax from the owners of these rail cars, and the testimony at our committee was that they ate $64,000 in sales tax, which they wanted to pay to the state of Wyoming, but they could not collect it from the rail car owners because of various means they had devised to avoid paying it. This particular business has on the drawing boards plans to expand by 18,000 square feet their rail car facility, and if the tax is lifted, they say they are going to create 40 additional new jobs. Now, if more and more rail cars are hauled away and dropped at repair stations elsewhere, Wyoming loses all the benefits thereof. That has a direct effect on the fiscal impact here. If they don't even repair them in Wyoming, trying to predict the fiscal impact is pointless. Keep in mind that Wyoming doesn't just need jobs, it needs good jobs, well-paying jobs with livable wages, jobs that allow a family to enjoy the benefits which go with having a suitable income. This point, if I, with your pleasure, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to explain the Standing Committee Amendment. What this amendment does, it puts a sunset date on the bill. But annually, it calls for reporting by December 1st of each year to the Minerals Committee and to the Revenue Committee. They will evaluate the cumulative effect of the exemption from the initiation of this bill. It will require a history of the employment in the railroad rolling stock industry to report the number of employees, full and part-time, and the rate of turnover. It calls for a history of the wages and the benefits disaggregated by gender for each job category, and will call for a comprehensive history of taxes paid to the state of Wyoming by companies in the railroad rolling stock industry. I think this amendment will create a requirement that we each year find out whether or not the bill is working, and if it doesn't achieve its desired end, we could take steps to repeal it. If it's working as it should, it has an automatic sunset date. With that, I'd stand for questions on the amendment and call for a favorable vote on Standing Committee Amendment number 1.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the sponsor of the amendment, on 3i, it says a comprehensive history of taxes paid to the state of Wyoming. Is that all sales tax as what the bill, in other words, their tax impact, is that what we're looking at, or just what sales tax was or was not paid? And then on the next line, which ends in the railroad rolling stock industry, is that aimed just at repair industry, or should it be aimed to say railroad rolling stock repair industry? Because people that are in the leasing business for those cars, which a lot of them are through leasing companies, people that may actually build new, sell, they'd all be in that, grouped into that. So maybe also should say repair industry. But the taxes, I have a question, is that all taxes or just the sales tax?
Mr. Chairman, I think the anticipation is it would be a complete report on the all the taxes paid, and certainly the intention is that we're reporting on the essentially mainly on the repair industry, but I think it would it's broad enough to require a report on the full rolling stock industry, leasing all aspects of it.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly, I would like to express my support for both the bill and the amendment. Of course, one of the facilities that has been mentioned is one in my district, and it's one of the kind of longest-standing facilities. The chair of the Revenue Committee, given his usual in-depth and articulate presentation, has covered most of the bases and most of the facts in that regard, but I will just simply say that there was a kind of a accidental experiment in regard to how these tax exemptions affect employment. And I think he already alluded to that, that when the tax was on, we had about a 60-person workforce there, and then the tax went back on, and that precipitously dropped to about 15, and it's come back a little bit. But the point being here is, in order for that facility to compete with other facilities in Nebraska, they have to literally eat that amount of sales tax and write that off. And as last I heard, and this may not be too accurate, but I understand that that's about $1,000 per car. So I would hope you would support the amendment and the bill. Thank you very much.
Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Peck's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment House Bill 93, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendments to House Bill 93 has passed. We're now back on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to yield to Senator DeCaria for any comments he might have, with your permission.
Senator DeCaria.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we have one of these companies over in my area. It's a fairly large company that is currently employing 59 employees. They pay fairly well by Wyoming standards. They start their workers at $12.71 an hour, and they can progress up to about $18.66. But most of these workers probably fall in about the $15 an hour range, which is pretty good. They actually make things. I don't know if you've ever been in my area, but if you have, they've invested about $12 million in our community. It is a wonderful facility where they can actually take entire cars inside to paint them, to work on them. You know, it was not a small investment. The concern is that we, you know, in my area, we border on three states that none of these charge a tax for the service. And so up until recently in my area, we had 6% sales tax on. We had a capital facilities tax, and we were doing that. Now it's back at 5. But what we're doing without this, they're automatically coming out of the gate at a 5% disadvantage. And that really does make quite a difference in an industry like this. I had a discussion with one of the major railroads, one of the representatives today that comes through my area. And they're talking about, you know, when they need these types of services, it does make a difference where they take it. I mean, it doesn't matter. They're going to take it where they get the best value for it. But for them, it would be more convenient because Wyoming is located in the middle of this territory. And so it makes sense that we could be competitive on these. And this is just not, you know, I mean, sometimes we just look at it as one type. But any kind of railroad car that comes through that needs a repair, they can come into these shops. And so, you know, it is one of those things. We keep looking at ways as far as economic development, and we look for new ways. I mean, one of the things that we probably should not ever forget is that we do have some industries in this state, and maybe we ought to keep those industries viable and allow them to just have an even playing field. I've never asked for more than that, but they need to have the same type of business environment that we have in the states that surround us so that they at least can compete for this and keep Wyoming workers employed in the state. And with that, that's all I have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess, ladies and gentlemen, I'm still burdened by the fact that I sat on the Revenue Committee for 2 years during a time when we weren't trying to figure out how to balance our budgets. We went through Tax 2000. Nobody likes paying taxes. And every lobbyist and every group will come in and say that if you give me no taxes, I'll be able to compete better with my colleagues or my competitors around the state. The picture that's being left out in the description is that if you go to Nebraska, you'll recall that we said there's not going to be any leakage for our prison to Nebraska as their property taxes are higher. They have use taxes. They have income taxes. You go to Colorado, they have an income tax. And you go to all these surrounding taxes, and they have different kinds of taxes that the competitors are paying. And they're paying those taxes and those income taxes, and they're building their pricing in with those taxes that they're paying. We have a unique tax structure in which our property taxes are low, artificially low. We have no, our use taxes are sometimes not calculated at all. When you start taking a look at, we have no income tax. So the premise is that you can do business in Wyoming and you can offer your goods for a lower price because you don't have to pay that taxes. And you should be, if you have a 10% income tax, you start right there. Now sometimes they come in and say, well, not only in Colorado do they not have to pay any taxes, sales taxes, but they're exempted from income taxes. And when we investigate it, we find out that's really not true. They're not exempted from their income tax. So if we, now that we have the mineral industry blossoming, our choices are pretty simple. We know that it's going to be cyclical. Do we start saving these monies, or do we start saying, okay, we're going to start putting all these exemptions back on so that people can make higher profits and risk that our tax base is being eroded when we have very little taxes? We provide services to these companies. They get grants, they get awards, the communities get resources from the state to help pay for the infrastructure to them, and it's all being paid by one industry, the mineral industry. And you could start making your decision now. Are we going to go ahead and erode all these exemptions? Are we going to wait and see whether, and then face ourselves where we don't have a balanced tax structure? But again, the missing feature is they're not telling you that we make a higher profit. We want to be able to charge the same as them, even though we don't pay property taxes as high as our competitors. We don't pay income taxes, and we don't want to have to reduce our pricing below them, and we want you, the state, to further subsidize that by taking off the only tax we pay, which is sales taxes. You have to decide what you're going to do, but we studied this. And it'll come back again and again, and we do have a tax base to protect, and part of the basis here is to make sure that everybody pays their fair share, and we give everybody a discount of no income tax. We all get it. They get alike. And sometimes, if you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor, you may have to charge services 5% lower than your competitors in Colorado to make sure they come to you. That's okay. We don't pay income tax.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, if these other taxes that are higher elsewhere were so important and an important part of the cost structure, why, when the sales tax exemption came off, did the employment shrink so drastically at that facility in Converse County? I've been to that facility. It's very modern, up-to-date facility. It's located in an ideal position to capture the business of repairing coal cars. And you took the exemption. We took the exemption off. The employment went way down. It seems to me that's evidence that this particular exemption does affect jobs.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking on and against the bill, and as so eloquently stated by the senator from Laramie, that sales tax is one of those fees we pay to live here. And it is an imbalance. There's a certain industry that pays a whole lot of our fees. So to say the playing field just on sales tax is not level is not correct. And that's already been stated. But I do know this facility in Converse County. And within this bill, I think you can construe it to say that even new rail cars wouldn't be charged a sales tax. And they were at one time experimenting, and I don't know how far they got, with aluminum rail cars. So that's quite a bit of income that would come to the state if we were selling new rail cars. The facility down there, their because I had a somewhat competing, we're in large weldments business at one time, and we looked at this company because they struggled through three or four owners, and their employment went from 50, 60, 70, 80 to 5 or 12 or 20 and back up again. It was just pretty much this all the time with them. Their pay scale was about 35-50% less than our pay scale, 60, 80 miles up Highway 59. So what happened in 2001, I don't know. But I can tell you by the sheet that was given to me by the people that are supporting this, that 3 years later, they were from 14 to 45 workers. So apparently this sales tax they've been paying didn't affect them too badly. They're down apparently 14 or so from their high. So with that in mind, it doesn't appear that the sales tax had a lot of bearing upon what happened in 2001, but I can't prove that, and I wish somebody would find the actual details of what happened. Rail cars, if they break down, if they lock up, and I looked into this back when I was in the welding business, when they lock up, bearings go out, you're not going to tow them. Right there, you've got metal on metal and nothing's moving, and you're not going to scrape the rail track all the way to Nebraska. The outfit in Converse County actually has a repair shop in Nebraska, so what they're really competing against is themselves in some cases. But BNSF, that other big rail company, has a huge facility in Nebraska. So, of course, that would be their best bet. We need, every time we give a tax exemption for a particular industry, it just adds another one. I'd love to hear from somebody that worked on the 2000 removal of this who remembers some of the conversation to speak on it, because I'd like to know why this was one of the ones we did remove. But I hope we vote this bill down. It just adds another tax exemption. It's one of the few fees we get. When you look at the cost of an employee in this state and having a company come in that doesn't even pay sales tax on it, on their product, it's just one more issue, one more debt to the state that has to be covered by somebody else. And as far as the $64,000 that the company in Shoshone collected and apparently paid out of their own pocket, and I cannot understand why they did not get a tax exemption credit or something with Department of Revenue, because that's what we did when we made a mistake in billing sales tax to a product. Learned later it was a government entity, a nonprofit, or an out-of-state delivery. We get credit back. But if it's just that they have to pay it, and the customer uses this interstate federal regulations, you can't tax us because we're interstate company or interstate commerce, then there's an issue there. There's a state rights federal interstate commerce problem. It's not a problem within that we should just give a tax exemption so they don't have to charge sales tax to anybody. So I ask you to please vote this bill down.
Senator Mockler.
Mr. Chairman, the one thing I will tell the body, my impression of my 12 years of working on sales tax exemptions, we are utter failures at this. And in some cases, when we did the exemptions, and we actually, this one I think expired, the rolling tax exemption expired, and that's how it went off. But we probably within a year tried to get it back on. This was one area I think that we just sort of wholesale took them off. But the other thing you might remember as we go through this whole process is since we had that discussion of exemptions, we've been given more of them out all over the place. You could just take this bill and insert airplane, because that's what we did earlier in the session. And I think you have to start putting a lot of this into context in the state of Wyoming. We know that the one thing we do know is that our tax base doesn't lure business to Wyoming. And if that were true, we've all said for years we'd be the biggest state in America because we have no income tax and our sales tax is low and our property tax is almost non-existent for some people. So I think what you have to put in perspective is there's got to be another key to this. And maybe the key is you make the incentives so great that they actually have $15 an hour jobs, that there's some other benefit to the people of this state, so that you have companies that are paying $15 an hour instead of companies that are paying $5.15 an hour. So all things considered, after 12 years, I've given up, and I think that some of these actually do make a difference, and some of them probably are a little bit more appropriate. And this is probably one, even more so probably than the one we gave earlier in the session, which was for maybe one business for sort of you know, just sort of the speculative of will they come. We know that these businesses are here, and we know that the exemption somehow does make a difference for how they operate. So I would speak in favor of the bill.
Senator Peck.
Mr. Chairman, in response to my colleague from Camel County, I called the Department of Revenue this morning and asked them about how the rail car people get around having to pay the sales tax. And he said they're very creative. They're looking for legal ways, and they do it through leasing, and they do it for, say, their interstate commerce. They take a number of ways, and they are they figure out a way not to pay it. And I will say this for the responsible company in Shoshone, they dug it up and paid it to the state. We didn't lose that sales tax, but they're waiting to decide whether or not they make this substantial investment on whether or not their margin of profit is going to be large enough to warrant taking the risk, because we know that there's a lot of competitors around, and we've touched upon the greater railroad taxation issue, which really isn't, it's a topic for another day, but we know we put on taxes on the railroad here, and they went to the 4R Act, and we tried it through safety of rail crossings and that sort of thing, and we lost. So I would say that, as my colleague from Cheyenne said, I feel like the conductor on the little engine that could. And I think that my concluding argument is, I think we should. But that'll fall to the foot in the bill.
Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Peck's motion, when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 93, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 93 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
And I move that the Senate beg leave to rise and sit again.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Got COVID.
Senator Hines.
I didn't know whether the president was going back to the seat. I had an announcement. Standing committee reports.
February the 24th, 2005, Mr. President, your committee number two, appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 201, engrossed, reports back with the favorable with the recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Anderson, Case, Hines, Job, and Nicholas, Senator Hines, Chairman.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, your committee number two appropriation will have a very short meeting on adjournment in your office.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, your committee number 12, rules and procedures, will meet at 1 p.m. today in S5 over here to take up House Bill 40, engrossed, the revisor's bill.
Any other announcements? Motion is that the Senate be in recess until 2 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate is in recess until 2 p.m.